While it is fresh on your mind, let me tell you that I've taken the liberty of borrowing that last song as the title and the theme for our study this morning. I will serve you because I love you. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me. It would be hard to miss the fact that something special is going on here really soon. In fact, all of these visual reminders of Vacation Bible School are actually but just a tiny token of all of the work that has been going on for the last several weeks on the part of so many people. The bulk of the leadership in this has fallen on Matt and Katie, and in their assistance, there have been teachers and helpers and workers and muscle and planners, and all of this has been brought together, and you just see a tiny part of it. And tonight, it's all going to become reality. I thought this would be a good time to talk about serving. You know, I think some people are confused about the matter of serving God and what all that involves, or maybe how you serve God. And one of the things that some folks miss, I'm afraid, is that when we serve the Lord's church in any way, whether it's helping to prepare and carry out Vacation Bible School, or whether it's supporting the efforts of a gospel meeting, or whether it's just the presence at worship assemblies and all of the things that are involved and included in that, no matter, all of those things are part of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus brings out that point in Matthew chapter 25 as he depicted the judgment scene. You remember he told of how it would be, and he illustrated it by the separation of the righteous from the unrighteous, the sheep from the goats, those on the right and those on the left. And he said that those on the right, the righteous, would be granted entrance into the eternal home with the Father, and those on the left would be turned away into everlasting destruction. And it was to those folks, those on the left, that he, beginning in Matthew 25 in verse 41, he will also say to those on his left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." And then they themselves also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" And then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." So you see, the reality is serving God, serving the Lord Jesus, is serving one another, serving the body, the kingdom. Anything that we can do to help and to assist and to promote, to stand up for, to speak for, all of that is serving the Lord. And the song says, I will serve you because I love you. You have given life to me. I believe the life there that's depicted in that song is what Jesus was referring to when he said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. The abundant life in Jesus Christ. Of course, it is eternal life with God in heaven for eternity, but I believe there's also an earthly application to that abundant living. I believe it's all of the help and the care and the blessings, all of the ways that God assists us, His people, in this life. So many of those things are things that we would never recognize, never ever even put it together. The Lord is there helping us and blessing us. Join me in your Bibles at John chapter 12. That's going to be where we'll be studying from this morning. John chapter 12. The same place that John read to us from just a few minutes ago in the scripture reading at the beginning of the service. What we're about to read here is something that takes place just the evening before the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, which would mark the beginning of the last week of His life before He died on the cross. Here in this reading, we find Jesus in the house of Simon the leper, and there is a dinner being given in his honor. Let's read again from verse 1, and we'll read all the way through verse 8 from John chapter 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served. Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. House was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. I should tell you that there are also two other accounts of this same occasion. Matthew records it in Matthew chapter 26 and Mark in Mark chapter 14. And nowhere do we find another Bible story that does any better job of illustrating how helpful it is to be able to compare the gospel writers and to get all of the details. For example, John just says that this took place in Bethany. But thanks to Matthew and Mark in their account, we know that it happened in the house of Simon the leper. Now, this is not to be confused with a similar occasion that's recorded in Luke chapter 7, I believe, where a woman anointed Jesus on that occasion. That was about a year before this took place, and that happened in the house of Simon the Pharisee. This is Simon the leper just before Jesus is crucified. So far as the characters that are involved, we have John's record to thank for knowing that not only was Lazarus there, but also Martha and Mary. We also understand fully who the objectors were that we're going to read about in just a minute. Because while John identifies Judas Iscariot as the one who really jumped on Mary for doing what she did, Matthew and Mark in their accounts make reference to the disciples in general, they and them. And so while it seems that maybe everybody there had some concerns about what was going on, it was Judas who voiced those concerns and took it to a higher level. Now back to verse 4. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." There's one other thing that Jesus said that Mark includes in chapter 14, verse 8. When he said, "Leave her alone," Jesus also said, "She has done what she could." She has done what she could. When I read those words, it makes me pause, at least in my mind. Now, it would be fair to own up to the fact that there's a lot of pausing that goes on in my mind, but this for sure causes me to stop and think about how these words might apply to me. She has done what she could. I cannot help but believe that there was a little bit of a contrast implied here between what Mary was doing and what the disciples had not done. Jesus didn't come right out and say, "She has done what she could, but you guys, what?" No, he didn't have to say that, but that seems to be implied in what he says when he says, "She has done what she could." Maybe it's a good question that we all ought to ask ourselves. Not just once, but from time to time. Kind of on that same schedule that we follow when we observe Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 when he says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves." Maybe we need to take a good look at ourselves on a regular basis and ask, "Have I done what I could?" You know, I believe I see some things here just in this little story that would find good application in our lives as we think about the theme of "I will serve you." Number one, let me suggest to you that we need to take note of the fact that Mary's service was purely voluntary. She didn't have to be persuaded or goaded or even asked. What she brought to Jesus in honor of him was simply because she wanted to. I believe some of our purest service that we offer to the Lord is that which we bring voluntarily. Now, let me say this. There is a need for requests and fill out this form, volunteer sheet on the bulletin board. You know, that kind of stuff is necessary when you've got a group of people like we have. I mean, any group of people, that there are different things that different people need to do. But when's the last time you ever stepped up and said, well, you know, I would like to do so-and-so? Or maybe it's the kind of thing that you don't really need to announce it beforehand. You just decide to do it and do it. I dare say, especially in view of what I read about the other details in this story, that if Mary had announced beforehand, you guys let me know when everybody's around the table, I've got an offering I want to bring to the Lord, she probably would have gotten some opposition. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But that's the first thing that we need to see. She was purely voluntary in what she did. The second thing is kind of related to that, and that is the fact that, number two, Mary was thinking only of Jesus on this occasion. She didn't have any ulterior motive. She didn't have any kind of selfish reflection. She gave no thought to anything except honoring Jesus. And she did so by extravagantly pouring out the equivalent of a year's wages on the Lord to show her love and honor for Him. That's all she was about. She wasn't looking for a pat on the back. She wasn't looking to be thanked or rewarded. All she had was a heart that was brimming over with love for her Lord Jesus Christ. So we see then that true spiritual service is not just doing something, but it's doing it with no other motive in our heart than to honor and obey the Lord. Service, properly composed and appropriately rendered, brings all kind of blessings back to us. There's no doubt about that. But the true servant of the Lord does not serve so that he can get the reward. Number three. Notice that this extravagant act of love and honor by Mary to Jesus brought upon her the worst possible reaction by her peers. Mark in chapter 14 says they were indignant and scolded her. And as we've already noted, John identifies Judas Iscariot specifically as accusing Mary of being so wasteful on this occasion. You know, it is sad, but it is very true that pretty much every group seems to have a little cold water community. Always at least one, maybe more, in a self-assigned role to make sure that everything that can be is criticized. I mean, honestly, there are some people who seem to enjoy just throwing cold water on every effort that anybody wants to make. On the deed itself, or maybe the way the deed is done. Let me tell you something. You can count on this. You will never do anything worthwhile for Jesus without being criticized. And often, the criticism comes from within your own ranks. Don't let it hold you back. Don't let it keep you from serving. Why is it that sometimes we seem to be more afraid of upsetting our critics than we are of upsetting the Lord, whom we are supposed to be serving? Number four, the blessing, the result of Mary's service to Jesus. Clearly, she wasn't seeking credit or recognition. But look what Jesus said about her. Particularly in Mark's record, chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, she has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory. That's high praise from the Lord Jesus Christ. As I've already said, true Christian service is always rewarded, sometimes in ways that we can't even recognize. I think Jesus described it in this way in Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Are you a willing servant, or are you a reluctant worker? One who can't seem to do enough, or one who has to be shamed into service? Is my attitude one of, Lord, use me? Or would it be fair to characterize it more like, just how long is this going to take? Where do you stand? Service. I will serve you because I love you. Here's an interesting thing I want to share with you as we close. In Luke chapter 10, again, Mary and Martha, their household was under consideration in that passage as well. And Mary was criticized by her sister Martha for not helping in the kitchen. And the Bible tells us that Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to His words. You remember what Jesus said. He told Martha after she went to Him and said, Lord, tell Mary to help me. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled over many things, but Mary has chosen the good part. We would say the better part. Here's a very important thing to remember about the fact that not necessarily every single good thing that we may occupy ourselves with is necessarily spiritual service. And not even serving itself can take the place of humbly sitting at the feet of Jesus. There's room for all of us there. There's time for all of us to both serve and to sit at His feet. And so while we see all these colorful reminders of what's about to happen tonight, with hopefully all of the high level of joy and excitement that's going to be infused into the hearts of these young folks, make no mistake, these kind of things can only happen when we're heavily involved. But going forward from Vacation Bible School, there's a song that keeps coming to my mind that seems appropriate here, which says, "There is much to do, there's work on every hand. Hark, the cry for help comes ringing through the land. Jesus calls for reapers, I must active be. What wilt thou, O Master? Here am I, send me, send me." And so is it send me, or is it more likely get somebody else? If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ by belief, repentance, confession, and baptism, why not do that today? Not a better thing you could occupy yourself toward than that on this occasion. If you already are a child of God but have become unfaithful in your service to Him, why not come back and be restored? We're going to sing this song as our encouragement to you. If you need to come, please do so now while we stand together.